The absent members. Today's chaplain is Major Philip Wynn from Osseo, who serves as the chaplain with the Minnesota National Guard. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the pledge.
Good morning. I invite you to join me in prayer this morning. Loving and gracious God, as we gather this morning before you, we acknowledge your mercy and grace. We thank you for the abundant blessings you've poured out on our state and our nation. May our thoughts, our words, and our deeds bring you glory today and every day. Grant these esteemed leaders your wisdom as they carry out the demanding task of serving their constituents with courage and integrity. I lift up the suffering, the needy, and the hurting among us, that they may draw strength through their faith in you and trust you to meet their needs as you do the birds or the flowers of the field. I pray that you protect, strengthen, and encourage our service members on duty at home and around the world as they defend freedom, and as you do, comfort their families and loved ones who anxiously await their return. May their sacrifices be found honorable in your sight as they place the needs of others before their own. I pray this in your exalted and holy name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation under God.
Serve the honor. Our pleasure. Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Berglund, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeKreif, Dibble, Fischbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebretson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Cook, Cruz, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Nelson, Miller, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Pogamiller, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Uyghur, Wolf.
Quorum is present. Moving to the second order of business, executive and official communications. The first will be referred as indicated. Senator Koch. We are under executive and official communications.
Yep. Madam President, I would move that the message as read by the Secretary be laid on the table.
Secretary will read the report. Or do you need? I'm sorry, it's unnecessary for the Secretary. We just note on that second executive and official communications regarding the notaries, and that's the message that Senator Koch move to lay on the table. All in favor, say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on to the third order of business, messages from the House. Secretary will read the report.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the adoption by the House of the following Senate concurrent resolution herewith return. Senate concurrent resolution number 6, a Senate concurrent resolution relating to adjournment for more than 3 days. Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no action.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 56, a bill for an act relating to education. Senate file number 56 is herewith returned to the Senate. Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Thompson.
Madam President, I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House on Senate File 56 and that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. There are several messages the Secretary will read printed on pages 2 and 3 of the agenda.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 5 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House of the following Senate files. Senate file number 760, a bill for an act relating to state government. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Abler, Gottwald, Kiffmeyer, Lohmer, and Huntley. Senate file number 760 is herewith returned to the Senate. Senate file number 958, a bill for an act relating to public safety. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Cornish, Kelly, Smith, Vogel, and Woodard. Senate file number 958 is herewith returned to the Senate. Senate file number 1047, a bill for an act relating to state government financing. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Lanning, Anderson B., Benson M., Downey, and Stensrud. Senate file number 1047 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albin A. Mathewicz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. Madam President, I have the honor to announce the following change in the membership of the Conference Committee on Senate File 1140. House File Number 1140. Delete the names of the name of Benson M. and add the name of Murray. House File Number 1140, a bill for an act relating to government finance. Albin A. Mathewicz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no action necessary on the messages the Secretary read. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation and report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 12 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted, House File Number 12, a bill for an act relating to taxation and property. House File Number 12 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Albin A. Mathewicz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and Conference Committee report on House File 12 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
On that motion, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. I'll just give the members a brief overview of what we did in the Conference Committee. House File 12 is our Green Acres bill that reforms the Rural Preserve Program. This bill was unanimously passed out of the Conference Committee last week on Thursday. Overall, the House and Senate bills were very similar, but we did make a few additions to the Senate version that we approved in this chamber on March 29th. The Conference Committee agreed to the requirement section of the House bill, which requires rural preserve land to be contiguous to Class 2A land under the same ownership that is enrolled in Green Acres. The Conference Committee agreed to the House provision that would allow land removed from the Green Acres program after 2008 to be reinstated to the program. The Conference Committee agreed to a study that would require the Commissioner of Revenue to explore alternative methods for evaluating tillable and non-tillable acreage enrolled in the Green Acres and the Rural Preserve programs. And finally, the Conference Committee agreed to an extension of the 2011 enrollment date. The deadline was May 1st, and since we are approaching that day very quickly, we agreed to extend that to August 1st to allow individuals more time to take advantage of the program. I would like to thank Senators Brown, Gazelka, Ninau, and Skoy for their hard work and support on the Conference Committee. And again, members, this is a bipartisan bill that is the result of multiple meetings with farmers, township officials, county assessors, the Department of Revenue, Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, and fellow legislators. Many of us, along with our wonderful staff, have been working on this reform legislation since the first week of session. And members, we have a great bill here, and I would certainly appreciate your support.
Further discussion on the Conference Committee report for House File 12, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, members, I would encourage you to not vote for this bill. Madam President, members, the piece that we're scaling back is an important provision that we worked on very hard in the previous years, which really recognizes fully that there's no part of a farm that's non-productive. We try not to even use that language, but every part of a farm is productive for some purpose, and in fact, those parts of the farm that aren't in agriculture do have development pressure and are used for various purposes and have important conservation elements to them as well. And this really scales back that provision, that ability to protect those properties and recognize the development pressure, but also ask that we have some decent conservation measures that are in place and make sure that that commitment holds for a period of time. remembering members that whenever we exclude value from any parcel of property in any of our jurisdictions, the levy that our local jurisdictions then have to raise is simply spread to other parts of our district. That's a pretty serious issue. When we're excluding property, that means the rest of us are picking up that value that's excluded. So it has the effect of our, as property taxpayers, contributing to that conservation effort that's going on that particular farm, that particular part. So it's a minimum commitment that I think we can expect as neighbors and as property taxpayers and those who are interested in conservation and still providing that accommodation. And I think it's just a shame, after working so hard for so long on something that turned out to be pretty good, that we would step back this far.
Further discussion, Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise to support the Green Acres legislation. I actually have farmers in my district, and they are in support of this legislation, and I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion on the conference committee report? Seeing none, Senator Miller renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 12 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended for the conference committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will give House File 12 its third reading.
House File Number 12, a bill for an act relating to taxation and property, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 12. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 45 ayes and 15 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under messages from the House, the secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted, House File Number 562, Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. Moving on to the fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. They are printed on page 5 of today's agenda. First reading of House bills. Moving on to the fifth order of business, reports of committee. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I would move that the committee reports printed in the agenda and the addendum be adopted.
All in favor of that motion, say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on to the sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. There are Senate bills for second reading printed on page 9, and in addition, there are several printed in today's addendum. Second reading. Moving to the seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. There are several printed in today's agenda on page 9, and in addition, they are printed on today's addendum. Second reading. Moving to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed in today's Senate bill introductions. They will be referred as indicated. First reading. Moving to the ninth order of business, there are 9 author motions printed on page 9 of today's Senate agenda. We will take those as one motion. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on, Senator Ortman.
Madam President, I would like to move that Senate File 505 be taken out of the Judiciary Committee and re-referred to the author.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on, there are several resolutions printed in today's agenda on page 9 and 10, and those will be referred to rules. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that the foregoing conference committee report on Senate File 1016 now be adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
On that motion, Senator Magnus.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, it's the Agriculture Omnibus, Agriculture and Rural Economies Omnibus Conference Committee report. All the members that participated in the conference committee signed the report, and so we have an agreement with all the members that participated. And I certainly want to thank everyone that participated in the conference committee. As everyone here in the building knows, everyone here in the state knows, we've got some very difficult budget challenges facing us, with over a $5 billion challenge to meet between the spending and the projected spending and the money available. We recognize that, so the overall spending reductions in our bill are about 14%, about $12.5 million. There's no question these cuts are, these adjustments are painful, but we are able to protect what we all have thought of as our core mission. We needed to protect our food safety. We need to protect our livestock industry. Again, a huge part of our agricultural system. We need to have the support we need for export programs. Madam President, members, President Obama has stated one of his major initiatives is to increase the agricultural exports, or double the agricultural exports from our country. We have a moral obligation as one of the wealthiest agriculture resource countries in the world to do what we can to supply the food needed by the rest of the world. Minnesota is the sixth largest agriculture producing state in the United States, so it's a huge industry. Minnesota is the second largest employer in the state. Agriculture is the second largest employer in the state of Minnesota. So Minnesota is strong today. Agriculture is strong today. There's a reason that it's strong. It's some of the research efforts that we've put in place from years past, over the last 20 years or so, has put us in a good position to be technically strong, have the resources available to in the research side to help us go to continue to be strong. With this bill, we're able to keep the funding up there for research, for our value-added research, for example, with the Agriculture Utilization and Research Institute. Again, finding new ways and new products and that we can use out of our agricultural products, and finding ways that we can add value to the raw materials that we grow. We also were able to keep the funding for the Next Generation Energy Board intact. Again, this is part of a national effort started by President Bush, continued by President Obama. 2 weeks ago, President Obama has announced some new initiatives to keep working on renewable fuel efforts, and so this committee report does that. Members, we started out before the year started working very strongly with the minority and the majority members and the Department of Agriculture, knowing that we needed to do our job to keep Minnesota agriculture strong, and as a result, keep Minnesota strong. Madam President and members, I would like to thank, number one, our staff, Greg Knopf, Senate Counsel Dan Mueller, Fiscal Analyst. I want to thank the Senate Republican staff, my committee administrator, Jennifer Burquam, my legislative assistant, Libby Krieger, and Tom and Sam and Brad Kusterman, our research person. And I wanted to thank the minority members and their staff. I especially want to thank my friend, Senator Gary Kubley, as ranking member, has been a great asset to the committee and did a great job on the conference committee. So thank you very much, Senator Kubley, and your folks. I also really want to thank the Ag Commissioner. We've known each other for a long, long time. I want to thank him and his staff. Countless meetings, lots of effort to figure out the challenges that faced us with the bill. Again, a lot of these spending adjustments are not easy, but we recognize that we all have to take part in the situation we have today. So I want to thank him very much. I also want to thank the other state agencies that helped. Pollution Control Agency, I would point out specifically, although we've had some battles with the Pollution Control Agency, we were able to work through those and come to some sound compromises in the bill, and I want to publicly thank the Pollution Control Agency for their efforts. I also want to thank the Board of Animal Health. Again, it's incumbent that we protect our livestock industry. They've done a bang-up job in doing that with their recent successes handling the bovine TB outbreaks we've had in the last couple years. So they've been great to work with. The University of Minnesota, those folks over there too, as our land-grant university. And most of all, Madam Chair, or Madam President and the members, I want to thank Governor Dayton and his staff. We have a lot of exciting things in front of us in agriculture. I'm looking forward to working closely yet with the governor on these issues that are vitally important to us as we try to keep Minnesota strong and keep Minnesota agriculture strong as part of it. So with that, Madam President, I would answer any questions of the bill or present the motion that we do approve it.
Further discussion on Senate File 1016. Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Madam President. I guess I would speak in support of Senate File 1016. I think Senator Magnus did a good job of conducting the committee with his counterpart from the House. There were some things that changed since it left the Senate floor. I know the fees were taken out, but that doesn't mean that those issues were left unfunded. You know, there is funding there that the commissioner agreed would actually get the job done. So I think we succeeded in finding a way to do that, even though, you know, there was a little back and forth dialogue on that. I think the ag bill really reflects a lot of the governor's provisions. It's very close to the budget that he submitted for the ag portion of his budget. So I think that, you know, even though there are some changes, they're rather small, I do think that it would be fair to say, well, I guess I remember Henry Kissinger when he was Secretary of State. You know, he made a comment that if you can get parties that are looking to enter into an agreement to agree to something that nobody is 100% happy with, that's probably the best spot you can get to. I think all of us have something that we would have liked to see different, but in the end, everybody voted for it. I think I've been on the Ag Committee every year I've been here at the Capitol. It's the most bipartisan committee I think I have ever served on. Members do listen to one another, even though you have divergent opinions. And I think it's, it would be well for some of the other committees to follow our example. But anyway, I would encourage your support, member. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 1016. Seeing none, Senator Magnus renews his motion that the foregoing recommendation and conference committee report on Senate File 1016 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. The Secretary will give Senate File 1016 its third reading.
Senate File 1016, a bill for an act relating to state government appropriating money for agriculture, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1016. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 52 ayes and 9 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I would designate the following bill be made a special order for immediate consideration. Senate File Number 86, which is number 5 on your general orders.
Under special orders, we will take up Senate File 86. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 86, members, is the repeal on the ban on construction of a new coal-fired plant in Minnesota and the repeal on the ban of importation from another state or Canada of power generated by any new coal plant. Members, I just want to go back a little bit and give you a brief history about how this piece of legislation came to being. In 2007, we did a lot of very good work on energy, and that was the Next Gen Act. And in that act was the Renewable Energy Standard, 25% renewable energy by the year 2025, the SIP program, the Conservation Improvement Program, the seabed legislation, the community-based energy development legislation, and this moratorium. Not so good. We've had problems with it. And why we have problems is because we here have a responsibility to make sure that we supply and ensure reliable and economical energy 24/7. And with this ban, we have a situation going forward that we need to address. My goal, and all of our goal here, is to reach a balance and keep Minnesota competitive, whether we're trying to attract jobs to the state or to grow jobs in the state. And our utility or energy costs must be stable and competitive. And with this ban, we have neither one. I'm very concerned about that. And we can go into the baseload energy debate. And I love this debate because it has changed dramatically over just a few short months. But seriously, members, we have a baseload energy need and a situation going forward. I have a saying I like to say that man cannot live by renewables alone. And I like renewables. I encourage renewables. I live in the land of renewables. But you still need that baseload energy. And it's extremely important that we look going forward. Now, of course, the economy has slowed things down in the state. And so the figures are coming in that we don't need to address this baseload energy. But I will maintain and I will argue this fact that it takes a lot of work to maintain a balanced approach to our energy needs. And just because we don't need them today, here April 2011, doesn't mean in 3, 4, 5 years we're not going to need some power to make sure that our energy costs are stabilized. And the other side of the argument, too, is that natural gas is very volatile. The price is low right now, but that doesn't mean that natural gas is going to stay low. History shows that it's up and down, up and down. So that argument is there. The integrated resource plan that any power plant or energy plant needs to file with the PUC, that takes 5 years to go through the Public Utilities Commission, and then another 3 years to build a plant. We're up to 8 years if we see that we have to have more energy needs or that our energy needs are increasing. At the time in 2007 when we did pass this, there was some great concern about this particular piece of legislation, and that's why we're repealing it. At the time, we were told there would be a carbon market in place. And unfortunately, that has not materialized. There is some carbon offset language in the bill, but you need to, number one, buy some very, very expensive carbon offsets from either New England or California. And so we are sending our money out of state, and that just seems ridiculous. Very, very expensive. The Midwestern Greenhouse Gas Reduction Accord was a group of 6 states, 6 governors that got together to work on this carbon market. Well, unfortunately, they, as of 2012, they were supposed to have this market done, and none of the governors have come back, so nothing's happening in that area. Also, it was assumed there would be a cap and trade legislation at the federal level to address this and work with our goals for these greenhouse gas emissions. And that has not materialized either. So we have a bill that has basically put us into a deficit.
Members, we need a little bit to lower the noise level just a bit. Senator Rosen is having a difficult time hearing herself. So, Senator Rosen.
I really want to hear myself, yeah, absolutely. And frankly, Madam Chair and the members, this bill is very difficult to interpret. There is a case because of this bill with Great River Energy that is pending at the administrative law judge right now. So as you can see that this was poorly crafted in the middle of the night, language that actually came from the House and wasn't vetted through in proper due diligence, I would say. And I can say that because I was on the conference committee in 07 with that. So I believe that the PUC has a latitude to adjust, and the PUC should be given the proper governing power that they have. So this bill would allow the utilities to include new coal-generated power as an option to meet Minnesota power demands, which is very important going forward, and subject to meeting all the requirements that any power source needs to have for approval by the PUC. This would include the certificate of need and environment regulations we have at the state and federal level. It's critically important to Minnesota to have a balanced and diversified approach to meet our energy needs. Again, Minnesota cannot be an island, and with this legislation, we are creating ourselves as an island. We must be competitive in every arena as possible with attracting and retaining our jobs. So, members, let's focus on the positive, what we did in 07, the renewable energy standard, the SIP program, the CBED. But let's adjust the things that are not working, and this ban on importation of coal energy or building of a new coal plant does not work. Thank you, members. I ask for your support.
Further discussion on Senate File 86, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
President.
President, Madam President. Oh, we're doing a special order. Thank you. Madam President, the notion of a coal moratorium is actually a misnomer. The truth of the matter is, Senator Rosen correctly cited our great efforts in recent years on energy. We did recognize that perhaps utilities would like to build more coal in the future at some point. At the same time, we recognize that the impact of coal is very serious and very consequential, both in terms of the carbon dioxide emissions as well as all the other pollutants that coal is responsible for, particulates, mercury, SOx and NOx. And even though they've made a lot of progress in cleaning up their emissions, they still produce a tremendous amount of those. But specifically with respect to carbon dioxide, we recognize that climate change is a real and growing threat. And in fact, if utilities did want to build additional coal, they could. But they would have to seek some way to offset the new carbon dioxide that would be produced so that we could maintain our established goals in public policy towards reducing carbon dioxide, which we would unfortunately turn back on in this bill. The building of one additional new coal plant, members, would eradicate all the progress we've made to date building new wind in Minnesota. But that's not the only reason this bill is not such a great idea, with all due respect to Senator Rosen, with whom I work very closely and have a tremendous amount of respect, but I believe it's bad for our economy. The fact of the matter is we have no coal in Minnesota, and so we export almost over $500 million of our own dollars to buy coal, to bring it into this state, or to buy it from sources just across the border. Those are dollars that come directly out of our communities, directly out of our pockets, dollars that we could otherwise use to build homegrown, distributed sources of energy here in Minnesota. And we would simply continue to send that money away and unwind a tremendous amount of economic progress that we're making and that we could still continue to make. Madam President and members, there's no huge pressing need for this either. We do have this baseload debate, and it's ongoing, but we look right to the Public Utilities Commission, right to the filings that the utilities make themselves, what they call their integrated resource plans, and they tell us that they're meeting their baseload needs through a variety of measures, some of which we put in place a couple of years ago. Tremendous effort on conservation and efficiency and much more to go. And that creates real jobs and represents real savings to our ratepayers, to the utilities themselves. Tremendous progress towards additional new renewable, bringing more hydroelectric online, making those coal plants we're talking about themselves more efficient, making transmission more efficient. Madam President, I suspect I know the reason that this bill has been brought forward We did grant a couple of exceptions to a couple of coal plants, one up in the Iron Range, one directly across the border in South Dakota. That one, by the way, collapsed of its own weight, turned out not to be cost-effective, and the utilities stepped away from it themselves. The one in the Iron Range, we'll see if that one comes to fruition or not. But there's another coal plant that didn't quite get in under the wire and grant that exception. And I just don't think we should turn back in a tremendous amount of progress and a tremendously sound and wise policy for that purpose. So, Madam President, I would like to offer the A7 amendment.
Senator Dibble offers the A7 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Dibble moves to amend Senate file number 86 as follows. Page 2, after line 2, insert. This is the A7 amendment.
Discussion to the A7 amendment. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. The A7 simply goes to the points that I made about the economic impact and the economic potential of the energy policy that we're currently pursuing and the energy policy that we would embark on under this particular Senate File 86. And it asks that our Department of Energy Security, now we call it the Department of Energy Resources in the Department of Commerce, simply examine and document for us exactly how much we do spend to export or to import and purchase coal that comes into and coal sources that come into our state, and really look at that economic impact in light of how much potential those resources have for energy efficiency and the jobs that correspond and renewable energy and the jobs that correspond. So really know in the cold light of day, in an objective analysis, what are the implications of this new policy, this new path that we're going to go down.
Further discussion on the A7 amendment. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm sorry. I thought it was Madam Chair. Senator Dibble, and I, too, have a tremendous amount of respect for you and your work. And on some things, obviously, we're just going to differ. But this sounds good, and I would like to talk about this further. However, I do think there is a fiscal note that's applied to this, and there would be a cost, and so we would have to address that. The amount of revenue exported from Minnesota to purchase and transport coal for coal-fired electric generation plants located in Minnesota and other states that generate electricity sold at retail. I'm not even sure. I think that all the coal that is generated here is used here. And I should say, too, members, that our coal plants are, they are peaking and they are... they are the best. They are at EPA federal regulations, state regulations, and they're doing whatever they can. And they're antiquated, absolutely. But they are. They've put all the proper scrubbers on. They've done all the technological updates that they possibly can. So I believe that what we are using is staying here in the state. Senator Dibble, I would love to have a very good discussion about this, but I do believe this is going to cost a lot of money, and there would be a fiscal note to this. And at this time, members, I would have to say to support me in a no vote on this amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Dibble.
Madam President, may I request a roll call vote?
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Further discussion on the A7 amendment? Seeing none, Secretary will take the roll on the A7 amendment. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 24 ayes and 36 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 86. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to offer an amendment. This is the A5 amendment.
Senator Torres Ray offers the A5 amendment. Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Torres Ray moves to amend Senate File 86 as follows, page 2, line 4, after the period insert. This is the A5 amendment.
To the A5 amendment, Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I hope that I can get your support for what I think is a very important issue, and that is testing contaminants in Minnesota fish. We have begun to see some significant problems since 1997 that continue to today. Approximately 130 lakes and rivers are sampled each day, and our database recommends that we need to do a lot more than that. And this is really an attempt, Madam President and members, to really look at containing the accumulation of mercury in our lakes and rivers and do more testing because the accumulation of mercury in lakes and rivers is getting to an alarming point, and we're not really able to test and do more prevention. So this is a simple amendment, and I would like to ask for your support, members.
Further discussion on the A5 amendment, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Torres Ray yield, please?
Senator Torres Ray will yield. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Senator Torres Ray. Could you please tell me where you came up with the 10%?
Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a conservative, Senator Rosen, this is a conservative recommendation that has been discussed among people who have worked with different organizations and DNR and the responsible entities, and they believe that we could do more, but the 10% is a recommendation that came up as a conservative recommendation that we could implement without increasing the cost and really begin to see a decrease in the concentration and begin to see some results that we can measure. So it's a conservative measure that has been recommended by experts in the field.
Senator Torres, sorry,
further discussion on the A5, Senator Rosen.
Could you tell me who that is, who is giving that recommendation, please?
Senator Rosen, I believe
Senator
she's
Torres-Ray,
you to repeat
will
the
Senator
question.
Torres-Ray, please yield.
Senator Rosen, is your microphone?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe pull it closer because it is.
Madam President, will Senator Torres-Ray please yield?
She will yield, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Senator Torres-Ray. Could you please tell me where that information came? Because I do believe this is directed more towards the Pollution Control Agency. And as we all know that Minnesota is just receives a lot of pollutants from all the other states, from Canada, they transport. So this we are not just a single island here. We have issues all around the world, actually. It's a global issue. So I'm a little concerned that we are just separating ourselves out into a little island on these reports and saying that we have to have lower testing results that other states do not have, and that we are setting ourselves up for failure.
Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Rosen, I think that these recommendations, the pollution, you're correct, Senator Rosen, the Pollution Control Agency, DNR, organizations who have reviewed very carefully the concentration of mercury have extensively put research out indicating that the increase in concentration of mercury is alarming to Minnesota, and that we really need to address that. And the only way to address it is by increasing the testing. And so the recommendations have gone really high, and I look into the numbers that were recommended, Senator Rosen, and you know, many have looked at a 15%, some have gone as far as 35%, and the 10% is a recommendation that we think is a conservative recommendation, since we don't have, you know, the resources to do what, you know, the more aggressive testing is being required. We think that 10% is not as expensive, is not as aggressive, and it is important to continue to maintain clean water and clean fish, and that's why we came up with the kind of the lowest percentage that we could do at this point because of the restrictions that we have in terms of funding and revenue.
Madam President.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Torres-Ray. Again, I do believe this is a Pollution Control Agency issue. Members, again, I want to say that we should be very proud of what we have in this state already, and that's our renewable energy standard and what we've done for renewables and conservation. The utilities are meeting their goals. They're meeting their goals with the Conservation Improvement Program, and I'm going to rise in opposition to this amendment. However, if the PCA or the Environmental Committee wants to take up this testing, I'd be more than happy, but I do not think this belongs in this bill.
Further discussion on the A5 amendment? Senator
Thank you, Madam
Torres-Ray.
Chair. I would like to request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Further discussion? Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam President. And just briefly, and I will stand corrected, Senator Torres-Ray, but I'm not absolutely sure that we know how many lakes there are in Minnesota, we know how many rivers there are in Minnesota, that we know how many streams there are in Minnesota. And if we do, again, I will stand corrected, but you know, how do you get that number? Do we absolutely have a number? Or is it somebody's count, and somebody's count will differ with somebody else's count? The other thing I would just mention, where it says found to contain mercury, I think if you're going to do an amendment like this, you need some level of mercury. You need some threshold. The absolute absence of a threshold, I think, implies that any conceivable, the smallest you can imagine amount of mercury would apply here. And I just kind of think this amendment's unworkable. And at this point, Madam Chair and members, pardon me, Mr. President and members, I would recommend that we oppose this amendment.
Further discussion on the A5 amendment. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Torres-Ray yield for a question?
She will yield, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator, there's a natural amount of mercury in all our fish. Have you got any numbers at all as to what percentage that is now, and what percentage of fish in our lakes that include mercury, and as far as numbers, any percentage as to how much mercury they have? I know this has been around a long, long time, for years. I think back when we talked about acid rain. Now that might date me a little bit here, but I know that was talked about back then. The fish consumption at that time was an issue. Do you have any idea just exactly how infested or any documentation that we could look at as to how infested these waters are?
Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam President. Actually, yes, Senator, I wish I could have, I should have made a copy of this report, and I apologize. I thought you might have this information. But I'm going to read from sources that have been documented, and I will pass around a copy of this handout that I brought. And what we know from research is that the we have been able to find levels of mercury that are seriously damaging the health of species such as loons, eagles, otters, mink, kingfishers, osprey, because of the large quantities of fish that they are eating with high levels of mercury. And I will pass this handout to you, Senator Gingrich-Britson. Also, there is a report on the accumulation of mercury on loons that have been affected, and their ability to reproduce have been affected. All of these have been documented, and this is being published at the national level and by the Water Quality Division, and it was reported in 1992. We have all reports. We know that the level of mercury have increased, and so this is 10 years. This is a report that is 10 years old. Elevated levels of mercury have been found in Minnesota mink and otters. This was published by the Water Quality Division in 1993 by the MPCA. Again, this is a nine-year-old report. And the final issue, which is of most concern to Minnesotans, is the walleye reproduction. And many members know that we are having some tremendous difficulty in trying to deal with reproduction. And the reproduction of walleye has been impaired due to the exposure of fish to mercury. And this was reported. The significance has been reported both in DNR, PCA, MDH reports. And all of these reports, again, Senator Gingrich-Britson, these reports are all reports, and this is why we're attempting today to say that we really need to study this, because these reports have some alarming statistics, and they are 10 and 9 years old today. So that's why I believe that we really need to talk about this today, and that's why I'm asking for your support, members.
Further discussion on the AA5, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. And I appreciate your information, Senator Torres-Ray, but we must remember, too, members, that the coal industry has made some amazing improvements in the area of cleaner fuel and direct reductions and carbon sequestration, and the technology is constantly increasing and getting better. So I do believe that we have been doing a good job with our mercury reductions. This is an area for the PCA to regulate, along with the federal EPA, and I think we should keep it in that area. When the PUC considers all costs for a certificate of need, when they consider everything for a certificate of need, they consider the cost, the reliability, and the environmental concerns for it. So I do think that this is addressed with the PUC. We should leave it with the PUC. This 10% sounds great. I don't think it's attainable at all. And I think it's going to, again, make us an island, because we cannot just rely on your renewables. It's not consistent. It's not reliable, cost-effective, or sustainable.
Further discussion. Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam President, members. It is interesting when folks in here talk about mercury, because we know today that in excess of 80% of the mercury that comes in Minnesota is not from Minnesota. And most of it actually comes from foreign countries. So to lower the mercury in Minnesota, we're down to in many areas where less than 5% of what we can find in mercury in Minnesota is actually generated in Minnesota. So we're doing well, members. We're doing great. We're protecting our environment. We're protecting our health. We're protecting our citizens. We're protecting our waters. Now, if we could only ban all that mercury from, say, China, India, and we do know, members, that a good deal of mercury and carbon dioxide actually come from China. It gets up in the upper atmosphere and the jet streams, and it's deposited here. In fact, there's a lot of tests in the state of Georgia where they were trying to reduce things at a local level, and they found out the deposits were coming directly from China. So as much as we'd love to take all those out, members, we can't control China, we can't control India, we can't control 80% of the mercury that comes in Minnesota. We're doing a darn good job. We're doing the best that technology allows, and we are protecting our citizens. We don't need any more.
Further discussion on the A5 amendment. Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on the A5 amendment. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 18 ayes and 42 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 86, Senator Marty.
Madam President, I have the A6 amendment at the desk.
Senator Marty offers the A6 amendment. The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Marty moves to amend House File number 86 as follows. Page 1 after line 5, insert. This is the A6 amendment.
Discussion to the A6 amendment. Senator Marty.
Madam President, members, this would simply require that moving ahead on getting a certificate of need for a coal-fired plant that the information gathered under the application would have to include an analysis of the health impacts related to the air emissions from the plant, including estimated increases in rates of asthma, reduced lung function, premature death. And Senator Jungbauer, I'm glad you think we're doing such a good job, at least on mercury emissions. We've got some real problems with asthma in this state. We've got 1 out of 8 children is affected with asthma. Currently, these are big dollar items. Senator Rosen's talking how cheap coal power is. In Minnesota last year, we had $208 million for hospitalization, emergency department visits, et cetera, just related to asthma. Coal emissions do increase asthma. It's hundreds of millions of dollars when you count the lost work time, the lost time in schools, all the other social impacts, but just the direct medical expenses is over $208 million a year from asthma alone. And this is simply saying that as part of the process of the certificate of need, you got to factor in the health impacts as well. I urge your support. Happy to stand for questions and ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Further discussion to the A6, Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam President. I arise in opposition to the amendment. Again, let me make this perfectly clear. We have the best technology in Minnesota. We utilize it. We take care of people. You know, one thing that always bothers me in this chamber is people really don't understand that when you make money, when you have a good economy, which we don't have today, members, we take care of our environment. We protect people. It is the poor economies of the world that are trying to rise that, as a matter of fact, are overtaking us today, whether you're talking Europe or Ireland or India or China. They don't protect health and human life like we do. This is part of the process. We already factor these kinds of things in, and any particulate matter actually hurts asthma. You know, whether it's a great day for pollen, that's good for asthma and a few other things. Whether the school buses are running down the road and running diesel fuel, and we do have the cleanest emissions on diesel fuel, but it still has particulate matter. So we are the cleanest country. We do take care of people better than else, and we do a much better job in Minnesota than most states. And I am getting sick and tired of trying to put more and more burden on people while the rest of the world overruns us and becomes the leaders of the world because we put restrictions on. You know, even think about this. We did this with in the United States with natural gas. We made it clear that we weren't going to allow the United States to tap the largest natural gas corridor off the coast of Florida. So guess what, members? China did it off the coast of Cuba. And where do they sell all that natural gas to? They sell it to us. You're right. We're the consumers. You think China does a cleaner job? Heck no. We let every other country do it and sell it back to us like we're trying to do with power. We need to quit the restrictions. We're doing the best job we can. We have the cleanest energy on the face of the earth here in the upper Midwest, and we're trying to further restrict it and kill all the businesses. We don't need amendments like this. We need to actually read the facts and statistics, understand them. Until you do, you'll keep on trying to put more burden on.
Further discussion on the A6 Amendment, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. And I, too, am going to rise, unfortunately, Senator Marty, in opposition to this amendment because, as Senator Jungbauer did say, we do our plants are have the latest technology in place. And the technology is constantly changing and morphing and getting better and better. But if you close down this industry, you're going to see that advancement in technology stop. So we need to encourage this technology advancement and continue on because we need this baseload energy. Just because we're having this discussion, members, too, it's kind of like nuclear power. We're just opening up the discussion to talk about nuclear plant in Minnesota. It's the same thing about this discussion. It doesn't mean there's going to be a certificate of need at the PUC tomorrow for a coal plant, but we are opening the discussion so we can give some comfort level to those people who want to make an investment in Minnesota. And I understand where you're coming with this, Senator Marty, and I appreciate it. However, how are you going to designate or delineate between asthma and how smoking affects these kids or these individuals, the car emissions? It's you know, we have to look at the big picture and again realize that Minnesota has done a tremendous job with our renewable energy standard. So I think we are way above the curve than any other state out there, and I think this would just be extremely tough to say our coal plants are doing this with our health going forward. So again, I guess I have some faith in the PUC that they're going to look at the costs, reliability, and the environmental concerns, and that's where I'd like to leave it. So again, let's oppose this amendment.
Further discussion on the A6 amendment. Senator Howe.
Madam President, would Senator Marty yield for a question?
Senator Marty will yield. Senator Howe.
Senator Marty, as part of the Certificate of Need process with the Office of Energy Security and the Public Utility Commission and when an EIS would be completed, an environmental impact study, would they not take into account some of the health effects concerning the issuance of a certificate need for a coal-fired plant?
Senator Marty.
Madam President, Senator Howe, far too little. This is simply saying as part of it, we want to make sure that we have them take a look at this. Senator Rosen, yes. They can figure out what impact this plant is. They're not supposed to figure out all the causes of asthma. They know what causes of asthma are. They want to see how much any new plant being proposed would be. We're simply saying here, let's include this information in the certificate of need process. It's part of the cost, very real cost. Yeah, we want to help Minnesota businesses, but we don't want to do it at the expense of kids. We don't want to do it at the expense of human health. We don't want to do it at the expense of asthma. Urge your support.
Further discussion on the A6 amendment. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Marty, I'm going to oppose this amendment. However, I would like to have this discussion continue on with the PUC and the Department of Energy Resources and see if it's even possible to do something like this. I don't know if it's possible with what we face, but we'll continue on the discussion.
Further discussion, Senator Berglund.
Madam President and Senator Rosen, it is possible. It's done today. You know, at one point there was a wood-burning plant proposed for my district, and they did the analysis of what the emissions would be and how far away from the smokestack these emissions would fall. it is possible to do this, and why we wouldn't want to do it, I don't understand, especially if everything is as good as you say it is regarding all of the latest technology.
Further discussion to the A6 amendment. Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A6 amendment. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 23 ayes and 37 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A4 amendment.
Senator Dibble offers the A4 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment. Senator Dibble, is it under Higgins' name?
Oh, thanks, Madam President. Yes, it's under Senator Higgins' name.
Senator Dibble moves to amend House File Number 86 as follows, page 2, line 4, after Minnesota, insert. This is the A4 amendment.
To the A4 amendment, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Before I forget, because I always do, may I request a roll call?
Roll call has been requested.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, members, this amendment simply is a very modest, what we could characterize an anti-backsliding safeguard. Coal is, in fact, dirty. It releases many different pollutants into the air. Even with all of our wonderful new technology, it still releases quite a bit of, technology? We have a lot of technology. It releases a lot of pollutants into the air, not the least of which are particulates, mercury, lead, sulfur dioxide, nitrous oxide, and on. And these have significant negative health consequences, significant consequences to our environment. And, Madam President, members, when the Environmental Protection Agency designates a metropolitan region or parts of a state as what as non-attainment areas, that's a very significant finding. And when they do that, they have the ability to require the installation of even more pollution control equipment or require polluters to offset their emissions, impose limits on expansion by industries that release pollutants, and more. Madam President, members, we have from time to time actually gone into non-attainment levels, although we haven't been declared a non-attainment area on a permanent and ongoing basis, but parts of St. Louis County, parts of the metropolitan area, Olmsted County have been out of attainment from time to time. We are very familiar in the wintertime of the periodic particulate alerts and alarms that go off, telling people not to jog outside, not to let their kids play in the playgrounds outside. Older people need to stay inside. It's very concerning that we're going to go down another path here. We're not going to require these new coal plants to find any offsets. So what this does is, if in fact the EPA finds Minnesota or parts of Minnesota in non-attainment, in violation of the Clean Air Act, then the part of the bill that seeks a repeal of Section 216H.03 would be reinstated.
Further discussion on the A4 amendment, Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Dibble, you just make it so fun for me, as do others. Members, to understand the EPA and the levels of non-attainment, the EPA keeps lowering the levels year after year after year. In fact, many levels of what they require for non-attainment they're lower than pre-settlement, meaning they're coming up with ideas on issues for environmental protection where the air is actually cleaner than before industry started, before we inhabited cities, and we can still measure those things out in the country. So it's ridiculous to even speak to those kinds of things. It is the liberal EPA that keeps passing some things. And I talk about this over and over, members. Unelected, unaccountable people that keep putting their will on the American people, causing a burden that will break our back someday. Members, when they get those levels that tell you to not jog outside, I would submit to you that it's probably more dangerous to try to cross an intersection during rush hour traffic when you're jogging outside than to try to run in a level of non-attainment. And I have a little knowledge there. And I'd be happy to pass out when we talk in terms of offsets or carbon sinks or things like that. Members, I'd be happy to give you all the information on a thing called the CO2 dome effect. As you run down or walk down Summit Avenue or perhaps take your bicycle out for a nice ride, you will find that many of our old-growth trees have been cut down. They're diseased for a lot of reasons, but one of those reasons is in the summertime, members, there is not enough CO2 to keep those trees growing. The CO2 dome effect clearly shows that in urban areas, in city forests, in the summer, there's not enough CO2, which is a natural fertilizer, the best natural fertilizer for plants, to keep old-growth forests alive. They literally seek CO2 and other forms of fertilizers to keep themselves alive and keep themselves healthy. So the best thing we could do then, members, is in the middle of summer, run a coal plant without CO2 controls in our urban forest lands to keep them growing. And the science reflects that. And once again, members, I'm not like others that stand up and claim to know science and all of a sudden they can't hand it out. I have it in my office. Please come over. Let me hand you the details. Let me hand you the statistical data. And it is not done by partisan folks. That was done by the Center for, most of that research was done by the Center for Climate Studies and something else that is a middle-of-the-road group by anyone's standards. And, oh, by the way, members, if you really want to protect the environment, how about we quit doing all this paper? Have you seen the Health and Human Service bill? If we stopped this paper in this chamber, we would do more than any controls you could put on a coal-fired power plant. This is ridiculous that we're not paperless, that we hand this stuff out day after day. We need to change that if we really do believe in the environment, and I challenge anyone to go there because that is the biggest significant change we could make in this chamber.
Further discussion to the A4 amendment, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. And I rise in opposition of this amendment. I do believe that that is actually almost non-constitutional if we take this language as it is. Actually, members, if we had a forest fire, that would put us out of compliance, and that's very serious. Right now, North Dakota and Minnesota are two of 12 states to meet all of the U.S. EPA agencies' ambient air quality standards. So we are right up there, and I believe we've done a good job in this state and on a federal level, so I rise in opposition to this amendment.
Further discussion on the A4 amendment, Senator Dibble.
Not necessarily on the A4, Madam President. I just want to say Senator Jungbauer, I have fun debating you as well, and I'm very, very glad you're none the worse for the wear for your recent jogging experience.
Further discussion on the A4 amendment. Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A4 amendment. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 16 ayes and 44 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 86. Seeing none, the secretary will give Senate File 86 its third reading.
Senate File Number 86, a bill for an act relating to energy, third reading.
Final discussion on Senate File 86. Seeing none, the secretary will take... Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President, and I want to thank Senator Rosen for taking the lead on this legislation. As we all know, our economy is struggling to recover. And if we intend to have a vibrant economy, a growing economy, we are going to need reliable, reasonably priced energy. Coal is part of an all-of-the-above solution to what will be growing baseload energy needs. If we think our economy is growing, we better plan to have the energy available to accomplish those goals. If you want manufacturing jobs, you're going to need more power. If you want growth in the information economy, you're going to need more power. Cloud computing, ever growing, and all of you are using it today as you sit in this chamber, checking the internet, going out to your email sites. If you want to continue to have access to vital information, you're going to need more power. And therefore, I would appreciate a yes vote on Senate File 72. Or I'm sorry, Senate File 86. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on Senate File 86. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 42 ayes and 18 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Madam President, I would move for a brief recess for the purpose of appointing conference committee.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. We are in recess. Senator Koch.
Madam President, is there a report at the desk?
Why, yes, there is, Senator Koch. Secretary will read the report.
Senator Koch from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed to the Conference Committee on Senate File Number 887, Senators Michelle, Lilly, Daley, Miller, and Peterson. Senator Koch moves that the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Remaining under motions and resolutions. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we'll move to calendar. The Senate calendar is printed today. There are three items on the Senate calendar. Secretary will give House File 323 its third reading. Gerlach.
Did you ask me to give it a third reading? House File Number 323, a bill for an act relating to real estate professionals, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 323. All those senators having voted who desire. All those senators having voted who desire to vote. The secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes and one nay, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining on Senate calendar, the secretary will give Senate File 548 its third reading.
Senate File Number 548, a bill for an act relating to energy, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 548. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Final bill on the calendar, the secretary will give Senate File Number 67 its third reading.
Senate File Number 67, a bill for an act relating to transportation, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 67. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we'll take up the consent calendar. There is one bill on the consent calendar for the day. Secretary will give Senate File 882 its third reading.
Senate File Number 882, a bill for an act relating to crime.
We'll be taking Senate Consent Calendar, Senate File 882, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Chair. This bill, Senate File 882, clarifies the DANCO's domestic abuse no contact orders are to be included in the targeted misdemeanor definition and updates the list of misdemeanors that the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension collects information about for the purpose of requiring fingerprints. This is a technical correction to update the statutory reference to domestic abuse no contact orders. It's supported by the Minnesota Sentencing Guidelines Commission. Although they have no position, they realize that there was an error that needed to be corrected. Also, the Minnesota Coalition of Battered Women and the Minnesota County Attorneys Association.
Further discussion on Senate File 882. Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 882 its third reading.
Senate File Number 882, a bill for an act relating to crime, third reading.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 882. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 54 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving to announcements of Senate interest. This is for the day. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Reinhart, Tomasoni, Scheid, Metzen, and Stumpf all day. Senator Cohen from 11 to 11:25 a.m. Senator Latz from 11:40 to 12:25. Senator Torres Ray from 12:20 to 12:30. Senators Berglund and Higgins from 12:35 till the end of session. Senator Pappas from 12:35 to 12:40. Senator Rest from 12:35 to 12:45. Without objection, those senators will be excused. Further announcements of Senate interest, Senator Koch.
Madam President, members, we will be meeting on Monday. We will be meeting a little later. I intend to adjourn until noon on Monday, and then we will be completing our work no later than 3 p.m. in observance of Passover for Monday. So, and then you'll all be off to enjoy your Easter Passover break. So thanks very much. Madam President, I move that we adjourn until Monday, April 18th at 12 noon.
Prior to that, Senator Koch, any announcements of Senate interest? I know that the Higher Ed Conference Committee will be meeting immediately following session in room 300 north of the State Office Building. Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President. The Senate Transportation Committee will be meeting right at 1 o'clock in room 123.
Further announcements? On Senator Koch's motion to adjourn, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.